Well, happy Mother's Day once again. And our text this morning will be taken from the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 19, and verse 27. The text is printed in your bulletin. You may also follow along in your Bibles if you wish. And we're going to look at the words that are printed in red letters, if you have a red letter Bible, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ: "Behold your mother." The context of our scripture this morning is Jesus' final hours on the cross. A group of women and the disciple whom Jesus loved, namely the apostle of love, John, stood by. Jesus would make sure that his earthly mother was properly cared for. The widowed women in those days had no means of support, and so far as we can tell, being a relatively poor peasant family of the trade class, Mary wouldn't have had a lot of recourse to be able to support herself. And so Jesus makes sure she's properly cared for. How he cared for her in her grief. It is true that Jesus would soon conquer the grave, not 3 days hence, but Mary would still undergo the ordeal of burying a son. The emotions that she endured were not lost on Jesus Christ. And the pain that many of you ladies endure over your children and your family members, your husbands, mothers, fathers, spouses, Jesus gets it. Jesus understands it. That's why Jesus came down and was born as a man, as a human being, that he might identify with all of our struggles, so that he could defeat death, so that he would fulfill the law of God perfectly, something that you and I could never do. And he understands you. Jesus gets it. In our Lord's conduct, we find the perfect example of what it means to live out the fifth commandment, namely, honor your father and your mother. Behold your mother is the exhortation I put out to each of you here this morning. The same exhortation that 2,000 years ago the Lord Jesus Christ put out to the Apostle John. Notice in the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, as we read it in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, that there are no stipulations as to whether or not your mother was good or bad as you might perceive her. It doesn't say, honor your father or your mother only if she did everything right according to the way you think things ought to have been done. It simply says, honor your father and your mother. Honor her anyways. Honoring your father and your mother is tantamount to honoring God. That's your testimony. That's obedience to God's command. And that's honoring the gift that God gave you, your mom. Your mom is God's gift to you. God placed her in your life to nurture you, placed you in a position of authority over you as you grew into a mature adult. What she did with that particular stewardship is a matter between her and God. She's not accountable to you. She's accountable to her Creator as a good steward of the manifold grace of God. What she did in that stewardship that was entrusted to her, we're accountable simply to honor her, to treat her with respect, so far as it depends on you to make peace, not to carry around the 55-pound grudge on your back the things that she did that you feel that were wrong, the things that she never did that she could have done in your own eyes. None of us are perfect. None of us measure up to God's perfect standard. So I urge you simply to honor her for what she has done, even with all of her imperfections, just as God sees us. So again, I say honor her. Behold your mother. And don't forget to say thank you. Her counsel, like that of your father, is for your own good. Now, there may be exceptions to this rule, but generally speaking, the counsel of a father and the mother, likewise, is for your own good. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. I want to look at a few practical applications relating to moms. The book of Proverbs in the first chapter, beginning in verse 8. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. And these scriptures are also printed in your bulletin if you want to look at them later. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. When you've wandered off from the way that she taught you and the way that she showed you that was good for you, when you awake from your slumber, you may remember the wisdom of your mother. I'm sure many of us, and if not all of us in this room, have had that experience. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. One who doesn't seek as far as is possible for him or her to honor his father and his mother is a fool, according to this verse. Only will bring grief upon the mom who bore him and or her and cared for him or her in their youth. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 20. Again, a wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. And the idea of despising your mother is the idea of counting her as nothing. Counting her as somebody common, somebody not worthy of respect. We're supposed to honor all men and women in the sight of God, but particularly those whom He's placed in our lives. And Jesus Christ, as I have said, was the perfect model for that. He showed what that meant. On that cross, He made sure in His incarnation that His mother would be cared for in her humanity. By the way, this applies not only to moms, but I believe stepmothers, mother-in-laws, by implication, those who care for you. Remember the Apostle Peter and his mother-in-law when she was sick, took care to beseech Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 1, verses 30 and 31, to heal her. She was sick with an infirmity, with a fever. And the Apostle Peter took the responsibility of her care, not only spiritual, by bringing the Lord Jesus Christ into that household on a very regular basis, but physically. We can do both. We can bring the Lord Jesus Christ into our households, into the households of our parents, even if they haven't accepted Him, by our testimony, by honoring our mother. We bring the testimony of Jesus Christ into that home, even if she doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way we treat her. And you never know. She too might inherit a home in heaven as well because of our faithful testimony. You never know what the testimony of a faithful son and daughter might do. Behold your mother in her old age. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15. And we touched on this Friday night a little bit as well, speaking of how one who doesn't care for his or her own family is actually denying the faith. Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 4. Actually, we'll pick it up in at the beginning of chapter 15. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition?" Which commandment? Well, he's going to tell us. "For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death." So he appeals to the Old Testament law in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, and the penalty under the theocracy, the civil law of Israel, for dishonoring your mother or your father was death by stoning. God took this very seriously. It's a good thing that death by stoning is not the penalty for dishonoring your father or your mother today, because I wouldn't be here this morning. And I suspect neither would many of you. So God takes this very seriously, very, very seriously. "But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, that he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." So the Jewish ruling class, the Pharisees, the so-called keepers of the law, came up with this law called Kabban that said, if you want to dedicate all your money and goods to the service of God, you can do that, and you're absolved from taking care of your own household, in a sense. So when your mother would grow old, is what Jesus is saying here, is when your mother is growing old, you're not taking care of her because of that, because you're saying, "Oh, well, I already put that to God. I can't help you, Mom. If you got to live on the street, so be it." This is what was happening. This is what these people were doing. And what a disgusting testimony that was. How badly that reflected on God the Father and on Jesus Christ, God's Son. Of course, the two are one. I and the Father are one. And Jesus was very zealous for the testimony of his Father being one in essence. Now, remember the sacrifices that your mom or your grandmother or whatever woman in your life it was that helped to raise you or care for you as you grew. Remember the sacrifices that she made for you. She gave up her time, countless hours of time, her money, her gifts, her time ceased being her own, so that she could care for the helpless little baby, the helpless child that she held in her arms. Remember these things. And remember that nobody's ever done that perfectly. Remember not only your mother, but your grandmother or other relations, as I've said, such as aunts, and especially to you married men or any of you men who might be considering marriage at some point in the future, your wives. Behold the mother of your children. Behold your wife. Behold the women in your life, the one that you might want to have a lifelong relationship with. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And pick up the narrative in verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Sacrificially and with the highest regard. Behold your mother, behold the mother of your children, behold your wife. Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. Beginning in verse 10, we read the job description of a virtuous, the word there is actually woman, but we get from the context in verse 11 that we're speaking of wives, although the principles extend, I believe, to all women, women in general. Proverbs 31, verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? A wife. For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. He will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. She is a dedicated mother of her children and cares for her husband. And a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profit she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, yes. She reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all of her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. The woman who is a exemplary public testimony also brings honor to her husband. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchant. Strength and honor her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. So we honor today not only our mothers, but our wives. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. No woman does all these things perfectly, but surely your wife does some of these things. Surely your wife does some of these things quite well. Mine does. Don't mean to put anyone on the spot here. Surely your mom does and did some of these things well. Surely your grandmother does some of these things and did some of these things well. I'd like to conclude with the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. The words of our text this morning in John chapter 19 and verse 27. Behold, your mother. Not only on Mother's Day, but every day. Heavenly Father, help us as we go forth to continually remember those women that you've put in our lives to nurture us as babies and as children, even as adults at times. Thank you for the mothers of our children. Help us never to take for granted the people that you put in our lives. Everybody that you put in our paths. Help us to see people as you see them. Help us to receive those in our lives as gifts, as your good gift to each and every one of us. We thank you and we praise you. We pray that through this time, through your word, through the sense being given of it, through the music, through our time of communion, that we also experience growth in the grace and knowledge of you and what it means to be a Christian, to be your disciple, and to hold your name high with our testimony. The only name that is worthy, the Son of God, very God Himself, our Lord and Savior, who sacrificially paid the price for us on that tree, namely Christ Jesus. Amen.